traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit EnergyCitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
Simp for your fucking
girls.
No.
See, now I gotta cut you off.
Because
you're making this hard for the rest of us, Mike. You're making this hard for all of us,
no
Mike.
No breakfast in bed?
What?
No breakfast in bed for your girl? You won't bring her breakfast in bed?
Mike, let me ask you a question. Are you making her breakfast in bed, or is Chef Katie making her breakfast in bed and you're walking it from downstairs to upstairs? Because I'll
will,
do that.
I will.
Yeah. I'll do that.
Yo, are you fucking... Have you ever noticed that Evan is the fucking bully of the
He's
house?
The biggest bully in the house.
Yep. Hands down.
David said yep, too.
Yep. It's funny because everybody felt bad with him after that episode that he did, which, by the way, is the number one most viewed episode.
Congratulations, Evan.
In impulsive history, he has surpassed Riley Reid, the great deep throating of the mic, to become the most viewed impulsive episode of all time.
Yeah, I didn't have to suck the mic to get number one.
Well, bro.
That's a good point.
Hey, why do you bully all of us?
Yo,
Danny, you just saw this. Sorry, I know I asked you a question and then completely interrupted you, but just to reiterate the bully thing, I was climbing up the stairs and Evan goes to kick me.
Oh, here we go.
This happened 5 minutes ago. Evan goes to kick me and my knee was in like the perfect position to just fuck him up. It was like a counterattack, like a parry almost. And then he got hurt. But yeah, why you bully us?
It's just as a sign of like to show who's the alpha. Like you gotta show dominance, you know? And it's like you got a 6'2 guy walking around muscular, you got a 4'4'2 guy walking around, it's like who's the dominant.
It's like the jail thing where you go to jail, you find the biggest motherfucker
exactly.
in the place who
beat
his
ass. Exactly.
Nice.
Right.
Well, thanks for joining us on this episode of Impulsive, number one podcast in the world, guys. We're back.
Show your dominance, everybody.
Show your dominance. Final message from Evan.
Love you, bro.
Hit that subscribe button. It's all good. Quarantine's going, you know, I mean, it's going. I'm kind of over it, to be honest. It's getting old.
I have a
feeling that because it's sunny and because it's summer, mm-hmm. I have a theory that more and more kids are rebelling and sneaking out at night, getting together in groups in their cars, or at least parking their cars in a circle and standing on top of it and then yelling like they have like a town hall and they're like, this is bullshit.
Hold on a second.
We don't need to listen to this.
This is not called a theory. This is actually called a scientific truth.
It's already happened.
Yeah. I mean, did you guys see Huntington Beach this past weekend?
Oh, it's
loaded up. The bioluminescence. Is that why?
Not that. Thousands of people went down and said, we no more freedom.
Like at
we want freedom.
Because at what point would you, like, what's the level where you want to live your life, but also stay safe? At what point is it like, okay, I'd rather die than be trapped in my house at all times?
I don't think we know yet. We got to find the rebellious ones.
We talked about this a couple episodes ago, and I think I probably once again dramatically overstated one side of the argument. The argument from the other side is that the chance of you getting coronavirus at this point and then infecting someone else or having some sort of major malfunction as a result of it is so fucking low. But the unemployment is so fucking high that the long-term risk to the economy and the long-term risk to the livelihood of this entire nation is seriously at risk right now. Mm-hmm. And it's down a single digit like percentage point chances of you getting.
Do we have updated
numbers?
When's the last time anyone saw like?
I can pull it up. Well, there was an article.
However, it's like, yo, you're running a marathon, right? Those last couple miles are the most important.
Yeah.
You stay hunkered down. Trust. Just follow instructions for this next little bit at a time.
So right.
Play it safe.
Because I'm telling you, if we fuck up and we make a mistake this time around, like the next quarantine will be a year, and then our economy will be exponentially more fucked than it will if we just follow through round and third right now and stay on the course.
They were pushing on the cops at a city hall. I can't remember which one it was, but somebody made a comment that was like, these are the same people that are all about Blue Lives Matter.
Mm-hmm. And then, are they wearing masks?
No, they were.
Bro, blue lives do matter.
They matter incredibly.
And there's some swimming around in the ocean. Some of the waves in LA right now.
Wow.
Oh,
Venice, Santa Monica, Southern California. I don't know if you guys have seen this. The waves are glowing blue.
This stuff's crazy. I went last night.
Now, why does this? Wait, what?
Yeah.
Oh, you went. You did. You went with Andre?
Yeah.
Oh, you did.
Yeah. Well, it was beautiful.
Well, you did?
Yeah.
And?
It was the coolest thing I've ever seen. The waves crashed, and it wasn't like that. I mean, these pictures are going to be boosted up a little bit, I have to imagine. Yeah. The one with the guy surfing on it, that's like the legendary blue waves. But last night, I mean, it was cool, man. It would crash in the like white frothy part that comes after a wave mm-hmm. goes.
Why does it happen?
Something about the cyanobacteria getting excited and releasing light.
Oh, just pumped to be swimming in the ocean?
It's like, yeah, man. Someone wants me to be here.
With each wave, it's like lightning bugs mm-hmm. of the sea. It's like the lightning bugs of the sea, I said just now.
Yep. That was good as both the first and second time you said. As you know, I'm not big on getting mad at people for repeating themselves.
You know what I was doing last night? Why I didn't come with you guys? I was going to go with Amar from Yes Theory. My guy.
Amara?
Amar, not your girlfriend.
Thank God. Better not be traveling with her.
I said Amar from Yes Theory, not Amar from Pornhub.
That.
But I was going to go with them to go check out the waves. And we were driving in the Sprinter van. Dude, this is crazy. This is crazy. This is a crazy story. Driving in the Sprinter van, I hear... Oh, shit.
It was that loud?
Oh, yeah.
Who's driving?
Big thud, Milton. Oh. Right? Okay. So finally, I'm like, I hear a thud. I hear Milton say, oh, shit. I'm like, this is it. It's my fault. He's finally hit a kid, a young child, a deer, something in the road, a cow. And I'm like, Milton, pull over. What'd you hit? He's like, I don't know. Something hit my windshield. It looked like a bird. I'm like, okay. So I'm like, we got to do something, right? I'm paranoid in my mind. I'm like, Milton, pull over. What'd you hit? He's like, I don't know. So I'm like, well, we got to go look. Because if we hit an animal, we got to do one of two things. We either got to put it out of its misery or see if it's still alive. And in that case, we got to save it. Because the thing flew into our windshield. We got to take responsibility. And sure, we could have driven off. Wasn't that type of vibe. Open the door, walking up the street, 50 feet, 100 feet, nothing. About to turn around, but trying to do the math, like where he hit it. Maybe it's dark. It's on a windy road going uphill around a corner at night with 2 feet of space on the side. So it's dangerous. And so I walk a little bit and I'm shining my light. And all of a sudden I see a body. I look closer. It's a winged body. I'm like, no, okay. no, not a flocked creature.
Batman.
Flashlight on it. It's fucking Batman. We hit Batman.
Fucking believable.
Yeah. No. It's a fucking owl. It's what appears to be a baby owl. And dude, this thing is just like kind of perched up. Big old yellow eyes just looking at me like, what have you done? I'm like, it wasn't me. It was my boxing coach. Please.
I didn't hit that bird. The bird hit me. I didn't hit nothing.
He is right, dude. Like, he felt bad, also, like, we didn't hit the bird. It just was an unfortunate. I go, yo, you hit a fucking owl, Milton. That is so unfortunate. It's such a pretty bird. And Eve is there, Dave's girl. She's freaking out. She's like, it's dying. And big old heavy breaths in his chest. And I'm like, no, bro. And I will say again, this is something I only say on Impulsive. We were vlogging it. Now, I'm extra sensitive with any time something dying or anything to do with death is appearing on camera. So again, I was high. I don't want to say we're vlogging it. We were filming and recording. And so I'm like tentative whether or not that's even okay or allowed or like who, like, I don't even know. So that's in the back of my mind. But I take a closer look at this thing and I'm like, after 2 minutes, I come to the conclusion that I don't think it's dying. I think it may just be concussed, dazed, confused. Just got whammed by a Mercedes Sprinter van. and so we devise a plan to pick it up, gloves on, take it to the van, keep it calm and collected instead of around a bend or vulnerable to animals, and call animal control Sunday night, 10 p.m. during a global pandemic. Do you know how many animal controls are open? Do you know how many wildlife centers are? Zero.
And you called a bunch, but eventually you did throw in the towel. I'll be here all
day. That was good.
All day.
one point.
All right, go ahead. We called a bunch of animal control.
Nothing, dude. Nothing. It starts moving around a little bit. I'm like, okay, it could be good. So we pull over. I set it down. It's not good. It was just like instincts must have scared it a little bit, moved in my hand. It doesn't fly away. I'm like, shit, we got to take it home. I'm a bird owner. I know how to treat winged creatures. So we come home. We put it in a cage. And there is a pet, a baby owl in my house.
Wrapped in a towel.
So I'm like, all right, dude, this has happened before with the duckling. Does anyone remember that? Huck the duck who stumbled in our yard?
And that was way back.
Way back when. Yeah. We saved its life, dropped it off at the animal shelter. Something about we hurt birds. No, I'm joking. I'm joking. Hurt birds find us.
Okay.
Or if they're not, they get hurt so we can find them. Like this owl who threw itself in front of the bus.
Do you, one more, a big question about last night. Do you ever think that timing is so important? And like, say Milton like was a better driver of the Sprinter van, he would have took a corner a little bit faster and he would have been past that point before that.
Now you're talking about the butterfly effect.
Okay, exactly. Whatever you were doing beforehand, could you have done it differently so that you got past that part faster? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, who knows? But yeah, we called a couple places this morning. California Wildlife Center was the place we ended up dropping the little owl off at. I named him Hoot because I was Hoot. He's a screech owl. He's a screech owl. Turns out that they're not endangered.
Oh,
population increasing, which is good.
Okay.
And he's actually an adult. He's not a baby. They're just apparently little owls. So he hopefully he's good to go. But it's crazy just seeing like have you seen an owl in real life? Like maybe a couple,
rarely.
A few, right? Rare, yeah. Bro. Just this vulnerable little creature. I got a soft heart for animals, especially the winged ones, because I got my little sir. And then Maverick, sir, right here to my right.
Did they say what they're gonna do with the owl?
No, bro, because they're understaffed. They're incredibly understaffed, and apparently the vet won't be until later this week, which isn't great. And I was like, can you keep us updated? And she's like, we'll try our best. You know, this is a tough time to hit an owl and have it rehabilitated because, everyone's on lockdown and like, bro, we had to drop the animal off, almost like you're returning a book to a library, drop it off, walk away, watch the vet. She takes him in. Like it was interesting, but that happened. That's what I did last night.
That shit was crazy. Watching him rehabilitate an owl. Yep.
What do you do for a concussed owl? Is it the same as a human?
You do. Just
like, yeah. Let it rest.
You do what you did, dude. Whoa, abrupt cut. I get it. I'm wearing a different outfit. You guys guessed it. We got a sponsor. If you love sex, you'll love BlueChew.com. BlueChew.com, you can get the first chewables with the active ingredients sildenafil or tadalafil. Same ingredients active in Viagra and Cialis. One of these days, I will say those right. I just need some practice. Chewables can work faster than pills. They can be taken on a full or empty stomach, and it only takes a few minutes to connect with the BlueChew.com affiliated physician. And if you qualify, you get prescribed online quickly. No in-person doctor visit, no awkward conversation, no waiting in line at a pharmacy, and they ship directly to your door in a discreet package. They're made in the USA, and they give you confidence in bed every single time. You and your partner will love it. Chew it and do it. I got a great deal for you guys. Go to BlueChew.com. Get your first order free when you use the promo code Logan. Just pay $5 shipping. It's BlueChew.com, promo code Logan. All right, back to the pod.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
Yeah, but I came home. Yo, I came home last night and you were with Amara.
Yeah.
You got that book coming out this week.
Well, it came out.
Yeah, by the time this is out, it'll already have come out.
Yeah.
And
how's it doing, Mike? How are the
It's
numbers?
Doing great.
Yeah.
Almost 100,000 copies
oh my God.
Have sold in the past 2 days. I know it's wild.
I came
Do
home.
They know that we're filming this prior?
No. Now they do, yeah.
Yeah, we filmed this on what day is it?
Whatever.
Whatever day it is. Monday. And so the book hasn't come out yet, but I'm manifesting.
Cool. Good.
Pushing
good.
It into the
good ether.
Ethernet.
It's good. It's cool to see you and Amara continue to develop from a relationship standpoint. And I came home yesterday, and she said, "Babe, there's something wet in my pants." And I overheard it. What was wet in her pants?
What was it again?
I don't know. Why?
What was it again? I can't remember what it was now.
I'm just thinking, even like if I was in a relationship. Oh, wait, I am.
Whoa.
We're in hot water here, folks.
Well, I'm just thinking in my relationship, I would, I'm warming up, guys. I'm like a retired athlete who's coming back to the game.
Yeah,
right?
It was a long weekend.
It's going to take me a little bit.
Yeah, facts.
But I probably wouldn't say, yo, babe, there's something wet in my pants. I'd probably just handle it, you know?
I don't know what it was. I can't remember what it was now. I have no idea. It's such an awkward moment to not know what was wet in your girlfriend's
pants.
Can
you just make something up?
I think it was. I think it was old cottage cheese.
Can I ask you something?
Yeah. Why am I sweating?
So,
I'm hot.
So
sorry.
Much.
I don't know.
So much.
I just got so hot, dude. Uh-oh. Ah, episode one, the sex versus. No, it is hot.
I told Mike, no joke. I was like, Mike, what happens tomorrow when we do your awesome podcast? You just start sweating and have to walk off.
Wait, I actually have the clip pulled up here. Should, like literally ready to go. Should we just?
Yeah.
All right.
Here, by the way. Look at you, man.
This is sort of a taboo topic, right? It's
kind of 5 minutes, dude. I'm like 5 seconds. I'm so hot right now. Just like having like a little.
Are you having a mental breakdown?
Yeah, I think so. This guy's got like 30 seconds.
Yeah, go ahead.
I think Mike needs to go.
Mac, you never have you ever seen that before?
I saw it.
It's so funny because like so sometimes I'm really hot. So that was like one of the last shows I decided to wear a hoodie on because now I try to stay cool. I run so hot. But also it's just my nerves, my anxiety, the damage I've done from years of drug abuse. But luckily, the team here knows exactly how to handle it. If they see one little bead of sweat, they stop the show and they say, "Hey man, can I ask you a question? Why are you sweating right now?" And then you say, "I'm really hot right now." And everybody else will be cool with it. And Danny goes, "It's not that hot. It's like 40 in here. It's a refrigerator. Who are you lying to, you drug addicted mental illness patient?" And I'm just like, "All right, time to go."
That was funny.
Here's the main thing that I've noticed. My sweating on this show is completely related to working out before the show. If I work out before this show, I sweat on the show. And you do too. Sometimes I see it gather right here.
That's why I don't work out before the show. That's why I stopped working out completely. I'm being honest.
I had no other time today because we had to do this episode, then the book episode, and then the night shift.
Yep.
Three in a row. So I was like, I have to work out now. But if I do it, I will sweat. And now I'm fucking sweating and I'm fucking pissed.
Yeah, dude. Yeah. No, the workouts do that to
you.
Damn it. So stupid. Full transparency, guys. I've pretty much completely stopped working out in quarantine.
It's
like,
embarrassing.
It's embarrassing, but here's the problem. I still look good, which is like a false sense of hope for me. Like, I should still be working out for my mental health, everything.
You got a lot of bulk, a lot to lose, you know, as far as bulk goes, but now you're just like cutting down.
Yeah, which is good. I like being skinny. I don't like being bulky, dude. I really don't. But yeah, dude, when I sweat, it kind of, or workout, it kind of fucks my, I'm hot for the rest of the day.
That's how I feel right now. And I'm pissed. And by the way, that you'll be skinny no matter what, you don't work out, you eat whatever you want, you're still skinny. That's going to stop.
I know.
I'm telling you right fucking now. It's going to stop.
I believe you.
Because you want to know what happens? If I eat clean for an entire week, or if I don't eat anything, I just drink water, but then I eat one French fry from McDonald's, just one French fry, I'm fat for the next week. I go back to 300 pounds.
I literally watched you and your girlfriend eat one French fry every single night. I had to tear a frosty out of his hands yesterday because he was inhaling it with a spoon, dude. I'm like, can I?
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
That Frosty, he goes, sure. And he's that dude who's like, before he hands it to me, he's like, half a Frosty in
what
7
time?
Seconds.
What time?
The only reason
I'm like, you're scaring Lana, dude.
The only reason I ordered Wendy's last night was because I wanted that Frosty. It was the only thing I fucking wanted. But he was so high. He was so stoned. Mm-hmm. That I knew it would make him more happy than it would make me. And so I took 2 spoonfuls out. And I fucking deserved it because I paid for it.
2 spoonfuls?
Four large heaping spoonfuls.
But what you're forgetting to mention is that you're using a shovel.
A small shovel from the beach. But then I gave him the rest. He enjoyed it. He ate so much food last night. I made him 2 steak tacos. He drank my Frosty. Uh-huh. He had a bagel with Nutella. And then he left while I was playing Warzone after eating the bagel to get more food.
What time was this?
1 a.m.
Yeah, 1 a.m.
I think that's where you lose it, Mike. Eating at
1 a.m. He does.
You could eat clean all day, and then you come downstairs. It's midnight. You go in the fridge. You grab something. You eat it. Game over. That's when you lose
100%.
Because you are so disciplined, especially with working out and even your food, bro. I see you eating leaves for lunch, but at 1 a.m. you break. You snap. Why is
every
that?
Every single day.
Why is that?
Sometimes it's because of that girl you always talk about. Sometimes it's because I like sweets at night. But I think a lot of people watching this probably can relate to that midnight breakdown.
Duh.
You know, the late night snack?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You it gotta happens. Break that habit.
I know.
You know why it's, you know why it's good for me? I like going to bed on like a full stomach. It's like comforting. Like a full stomach
you
blankets
sleep like
over
a log.
Me. I don't know. I feel good about it.
I can't wake up if I eat before bed.
General?
No, I wake up. It's just like a long time.
I see. Yeah, yeah. It slows you down a little bit. Mm-hmm. Also, though, humans lose a lot of weight and burn a lot of calories while they're sleeping. If I don't have that last meal, dude, I'll wake up hangry almost, starving.
Hmm. Yeah, you needed it last
How much
night.
Do
you woke up starving this morning.
I lose 5 pounds every night.
That's insane.
It's just sleeping, 5 pounds gone.
Is that sweat? What is that? We gotta find out. Are you taking dumps in your bed at night?
I don't know. I don't know. Like humans in general lose most probably between 2 and 3 pounds per night.
Okay.
I'm more just because my metabolism is like high. And also, although I'm not working out, I will say I'm still extremely, extremely active. Just not working out. Look, Milton's mad at me, my boxing coach. We talked about that. Hey, we talked about the owl you hit.
Oh, God. I didn't hit the owl.
I said that. That's exactly what I said. I didn't hit no fucking owl.
He did. Mike said that.
I didn't hit no owl.
No. He did say that.
The owl hit me. If I would have left a little bit earlier from where I was, that owl would hit me right in the face.
What do you mean a little earlier, like a millisecond?
A Milton second.
Did I not just talk about the butterfly effect?
You just
said the same shit.
It's crazy that just happened, but I'm not one to like get mad at people for repeating themselves.
I like these callbacks. We're talking about working out. Did y'all see Thor Bjornsson?
That dude's big.
The monster.
The monster.
The behemoth from Iceland. Mm-hmm. Deadlift 501 kgs. It was cool. But what's even cooler? The mountain. Thor Bjornsson. Set to make debut in boxing versus former World's Strongest Man in 2021.
Oh, my God.
Nearly 800 pounds of muscle will be in the ring September 2021. He's fighting Eddie Hall, who's a former World's Strongest Man.
What does that look like when they fight? Like,
okay,
how does
this,
that...
This man is... He's 425 pounds, 6'9".
Oh, wow.
6'9". He's massive, dude. And he deadlifted... What is 501 kgs? Like,
1,100... It's right there, 1,104.
Yeah, and then he did the scream. I always like seeing the strong guy scream afterwards because like I could feel it in me plums. But yeah, it's crazy because being a boxer, large men, mm-hmm. weightlifters especially, pretty much always never make good boxers.
Yeah, that's what I'm wondering. Like, how does this work?
The crossover is going to be really difficult, but since it's happening in a year plus, I think they could both be really, really proficient in boxing if they dedicate themselves to it. I know Thor is like the one thing you can't question about deadlifting 1,000+ pounds is the man's devoted to his fitness.
Oh, definitely. What about his cardio though? Can he run?
He'll get there for a year and a half.
How do you move 400 pounds?
With a bulldozer or some shit. Wait, so what happens if one of these guys hops in the ring with you?
I commented on his post, on Thor's post, and I said, hey, like let's spar. I don't know. Milton, what do you think? Like,
fuck no.
Milton said, fuck no.
Is this the guy
who sprays
400 pounds?
425 pounds.
Listen, although he's going to swing and miss a lot and probably get tired.
If he hits me, I'm
fucked. But just one slap in the face.
I'm done.
You're going to witness a human satellite.
You're going to witness a human satellite. Yeah, no, I'm not too interested in taking a hit from the strongest man in the world. But I will be paying a lot of money to watch this fight. We'll probably be there, but I'll still pay. I'm here to support my friends. He's nice. I was supposed to hang out with him when we went to Iceland, which we didn't do, and that's why it didn't happen.
Could you tell me how you pronounce his first name quickly?
It's Hafthor.
I'm sorry, it's what?
Hafthor. When they spell it out.
What is what is that small U stuck to the wall in the middle do?
Oh, see, like, that's one?
I thought it was like a misdrawn P.
No, that's an Icelandic letter.
Is it?
They have this on some detour
it's
signs.
It's probably a TH.
No, because when I see that, I see a handle on an industrial door that I can open.
Okay. Mm. I picture it like a lowercase b with an extra long tail.
All right. Did you see him play Conor McGregor?
I did. They rolled around a little bit. Yeah, it was interesting. I mean, bro, like when we talk about dudes this big, just the rules are different. Have you ever grabbed a strong man, like a really strong man?
Yeah, our friend Danny. From back home.
And you ever grip him? I swear to God, something.
It's terrifying.
When I see dudes like this, like the first thing I did to Bradley Martin when I saw him for the first time in real life, I was just like, bro, you're so, dude, can I just like, and you, just like to feel the, it's probably not the best word to use in this context, but to feel the girth on this man
was cut that clip it
was something phenomenal. You know what I'm saying? Just like, oh, that's why I said the first thing I'd do if it was a clone of me was wrestle me. I want to see how strong I am. Sometimes I shake my dad's hand and I try to pay attention to the roughage on his hand and what that feels like, because I wonder if that's what my hand feels like. Like, think about it. You don't know what kind of touch you put out. You don't know how strong you are. You don't know what it's like to look at you.
Man. Well, I would assume
especially from the back.
I would assume your dad's hand is like that from digging post holes and shit like that. And I would assume your hand's softer than a baby's bottom.
Me?
Because you haven't done shit.
No.
Besides create videos.
No, bro. Oh. So I got eczema or something. I don't have eczema, but
You're pretty rigid.
I do suffer from dry hands. Like, bro, we were driving back from the ranch. Mm-hmm. And I'm talking a lot this episode. I'm sorry. I'm gonna keep talking. That's good. I got a lot on my mind.
No, good. Go.
Driving back from the ranch, and I'm holding my girl's like thigh, and all of a sudden I feel like something on my hand. I'm like, what the fuck's going on? And bro, she's sneak attacking me with hand lotion. I'm like, what the fuck? Get off me! Get off me! But like, you told me this too.
Bro, I am so much worse than you with lotion. I do not use it ever. I never use lotion, no chapstick.
But surely your mom tried to coerce you into using it.
Everyone's like, you need lotion. Yeah. I'm like, my hands are fine.
Yeah.
I have no cracks. They're Polish hands. They don't break. I'm good.
So
I don't need anything.
You have beautiful hands. Mine aren't even beautiful. Like, my knuckles will crack and bleed, full on bleeding. I could bleed out. Pints of blood are being lost. And I will not use lotion. I won't do it.
I think both you guys and a lot of the male population out there underestimate the power of moisturizing. I really do. Moisturizing is a powerful, powerful thing.
For what purpose?
You sound like George Janko.
George Janko, I respect you on this. There's something to be said about a smooth, sun-kissed skin that a woman just likes. They like that. Like, nobody wants to touch.
I don't want to be
nobody
smooth.
Nobody wants to touch a Brillo pad, Mac.
Here's my issue.
No one
with
wants
it.
To touch a
As soon as you start
porcupine.
Using that stuff, you're addicted to it, and you have to use it
Mac,
all
you know
the time
what?
For the rest of your life.
You sound like a vegan friend of ours. That's what they say about aspirin. You ever had a headache and use different. Aspirin? Do you use aspirin when you have a headache?
Sometimes. Not aspirin particularly.
No, you are right. What you're describing is called the dependence. I have a chapstick on me every
All
single
the
time. Day. I have for the past decade. There's not a day that goes by in my life where I do not have a chapstick
that's
in my
addiction.
Left in my left pocket.
Funny you say that.
Yep. Oh, same brand. Blistex Medicated.
By the way, I don't use this brand. Danny bought these. I took one.
Shout out Danny. What do you think, by the way? These are my go-to.
It's fantastic.
It's good, right?
I've always used the other kind, the chapstick.
It's okay. It's okay.
It's just called the name. It's like buying a milk called milk. Like, there's no company name. It's just called Chapstick.
Or did it become a Chapstick because that was the name of the thing? Like a tissue?
Oh, is it Kleenex
that's a
now?
Oh, a Kleenex is a brand.
Right.
It's just a tissue, but people call them Kleenex. Like,
think
overall.
About it. Like, what kind of soda do you want? I'll take a Coke.
That's like some Georgia Southern stuff, though.
I'll take a Coke. We don't have Coke. We have Pepsi. No, I wanted a Pepsi. I just wanted a Coke.
We're somewhere. I'm going to bring us back.
That's fine. I mean, bring us wherever the fuck you want.
No, it's good. It's just like lotion.
I'm just going to sit over here burning.
I'm not terrified of lotion, but I am terrified of monkeys. And I said that last episode, but you guys saw the video, right?
Okay, so I didn't really hear you when you said that. Like, I heard you, but I was like, that's silly, mm-hmm. right? I said, that might be an irrational fear. Turns out it's not. Turns out there's monkeys trying to kidnap humans via motorcycle. I don't know how to describe this and say it in any other way, so I'm just going to have y'all watch it here. This is a video on Facebook, and it says, bizarre footage has emerged showing a motorcycle-riding monkey attempt to snatch a small child believed to be in Indonesia. Okay, pay close attention here, especially on the arrival of the monkey.
Wait,
dude.
It's so strong.
Dude.
It's so strong.
Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me?
Yo,
he rode up on a motorcycle. Oh, no. Something's happening. I'm trying to zoom out. We need a young Jamie, dude. How does a monkey ride up on a motorcycle?
Someone trained this monkey.
Okay, so is that the thing? So what is the monkey trained to do? Steal humans? Small spawn?
Probably steal something. Kids. But why did it go, like, is it trained to steal purses and then it went rogue and stole a human?
Also, he ditched a bike. He doesn't have a getaway monkey driver. Like, he just left the
bike. Yeah, why did he ride the bike in the first place?
Is it electric? Is he pedaling? Does it have petrol?
Who gives a monkey a bike? Did the monkey steal the bike?
I can't die. I cannot die not knowing these things.
I can't even make sense.
Can you arrest the monkey?
That's another... Bro, I'm about to cry because my fucking head is about to explode.
When it comes to jurisdiction and justice for this poor traumatized child, does the monkey stand trial? Does the monkey go to jail?
Absolutely.
Monkey jail for sure. Absolutely. That's a thing.
What is monkey jail? Just a cage?
It's called a zoo.
That's just their life, a zoo.
They have to go live with the Tiger King.
Oh God. No.
This blew my mind. I'm chalking it up to one of those things that, like, I don't get it. I don't
understand the bike. That's the one part I don't get. Like, the monkey can clearly move quickly. He scurries quickly away. Why did he have to ride in on two wheels? Yes. Like, that, to
who's
me,
filming? Why
to
were
me,
they filming?
That was like the extra fuck you.
Why were they filming it?
Look how strong it is. Look at this. He pulls a child, like, face first across the ground. And that's not like a little child. That's a, I don't know, 3-4-year-old maybe?
That's a toddler, yeah. It's crazy.
Pretty whack that he didn't get the job done.
How about the guy that just walks nonchalantly? I don't think
you could say that. What, you think monkeys' rights activist groups are going to come after you?
No, I think human abduction groups are going to come after
fuck
you.
Fuck that shit.
Anti-abduction groups.
You think there's a group? Imagine there's just a big-ass group of people who have been abducted by monkeys and they come after me. They're like, you have gone against my rights. I was abducted by a small chimpanzee at 6 years old. We're bringing him down. Fuck the fifth vital. Fuck this sweaty kid.
Oh, God.
We hate him. I was abducted by an orangutan when I was in Somalia.
Cool. That would be cool. Orangutans are chill.
Dude, what just happened? Why did that monkey steal that baby? Mac, you're supposed to not have answers
to
this shit.
As part monkey, I wish I knew the answer. I don't talk to my
step-grandma passed away yesterday.
Nice segue, dude.
Rest in peace, Grandma Joe.
Sorry to hear that, man.
It's good. It's all good. It's not, but you know, it is, like, it's life and,
no, it's actually death.
How old is she?
If you think about it.
Yeah. She was old. She was like 80 or so. And she can finally, reunite with my grandpa Spike in heaven, my mom's dad, who is the guy who I get my, athleticism and, intelligence from. Grandpa Spike, very smart engineer, created many patents for boats and how they're designed. And Grandma Joe was his partner in crime. And she's finally up there with him. But
how old was she?
80 plus, I think, or about to be 80.
That's a good run. Well, not for you. That's only half where you're trying
to go. Obviously, I wasn't with my family. They're all in Ohio and supporting my grandma on her way out. But it was interesting because I started racking my brain as my mom was sending me pictures and there was the entire family around my step grandma she's my step grandma, but I was still pretty, pretty close with her. You know, forget the step. Like, she's basically like a grandma.
Yeah.
And, it was just interesting to see. I don't know. She's just on her deathbed and everyone just kind of looking at her and I was confused. This is part of the things where I think my maybe like ignorance or inexperience lends itself to confusion because logically I'm like, yo, there's 10 people who she loves and they're comforting her, but they're just like waiting for her to die.
It's a little strange.
It's like the thing, right? But it was just like, when I go out, dude, I want to be remembered in like a pristine, strong state, not withering, dilapidated, losing my consciousness in front of the people that I love most.
What if Grandma Joe wanted that? What if she wanted to be surrounded by her closest family so that, you know, in her last moments she could tell them that?
Yeah. I mean, what you're just describing is a live fast, die young, because the only way you're going to go out in that shape is if you die young enough to still be there.
So this is what I'm getting at.
Oh God, what are we getting at?
When I'm on the cusp of death and merging our two conversations, when I'm on the 150 plus, right? When it's time for me to go out, I don't want to do it on a deathbed. I want to fight a gorilla.
But
back to the monkeys. You need to find the monkey that did that and get vengeance for that shit diaper filled baby, dude, that got dragged away.
I'm going to take you back even more. If you remember another thing I wanted to do, I want to die on Mars. So now it's tricky because I need to be 150. I need to die on Mars and I need to fight a gorilla to the death.
What makes you think that would be difficult to set up?
I don't think we'd be able to get the gorilla to Mars.
That's bogus thinking. That's second grade thinking.
We could do that immediately. Would we put the gorilla in an astronaut suit, and would I fight him on the terrain?
This is how I know that you're shaken up by your grandma's passing.
Because I'm trying.
The first question you're asking is how can I get a gorilla to space so that I can kill it on Mars before I die? Incredible.
No, he wants to die by gorilla fight.
Sorry. The way your brain works is amazing. It's my favorite.
I either want that or someone needs to yoss me out of a plane.
Oh my God.
Could happen tomorrow.
I don't think Paul's
that right now.
I don't think the Paul's wanting to die in weird ways is so foreign.
Or, what about GP?
We talked about this at the ranch this weekend.
That was not cool, man.
Do you know? That guy's weird. Yeah, but he's awesome.
He's awesome.
He's a character. Mac, you spent the whole weekend building a pool. You're a little weird.
Whoa. What's going on here, boys?
We're
going
to get to it.
I'm the sweaty one. Cut the shit.
No offense, GP. I just like,
he's a fan, trust me.
He was talking about some weird ways to die, and I was like, that's just a little strange, man. I don't know.
No, sorry. It wasn't weird ways to die. It was weird ways to disperse of his body once he's dead.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Cremation, sure. Burial, maybe. Nope, not GP. He wants to be cut up into little pieces and have them thrown to the birds on top of the mountain so the birds can poop and fertilize the soil so he continues to give back even after his death. Now, I said this, Dad. I'm sorry. As your son, cannot cut you up. I will not cut you into cubes, nor will I throw cubes of your body to birds.
You're telling me that his lifelong goal is to die a piece of shit? Is that what you just said to me? Is that what you just fucking said? What just happened?
I think so.
He wouldn't die as one. He'd be reincarnated as one.
That's incredible.
That's tricky. That's tricky.
I can't fucking, I don't know.
I don't know.
I want to go out in a simultaneous.
Yeah, how you want to go?
GP, I want to go out in a simultaneous orgasm.
That's cool.
You and your fucking beloved, your lover, bro, you're fucking 92 years old. You ate all the Blue Chew, Sildenafil, you can get it at promo code Logan. No, you pop Blue Chew, she pops female Viagra, and you guys time it just perfectly. And you're on life support, both of you. And at the exact moment that you go, she goes, and they hit the switches. And it's like this, beep, beep. Yeah. And you both come and go simultaneously.
Oh,
my God.
And then you are mixed together, mm-hmm. and your body matter is used to as fertilizer for a lemon tree. And then your friends drink your cum lemonade. Yeah, no, it's fucking strange.
You had me until then.
Yeah, why do you have to add that element?
Well, it's just life in the basket.
Y'all believe in reincarnation? I mean, it's a bit deeper of a question than that.
My theory on this is if reincarnation is real, where else in the universe would you go? Because everything that you know and love is right here, right now.
Well, you know, Einstein's theory. Is Einstein's what's the thing that energy cannot be created or destroyed?
That's just theory fundamental of physics.
That's Newton. That sounds about right. It's someone.
Fake Newtons?
It's someone. But I called my mom this morning, and just last little thing here. I was like, hey, did Grandma Jo, when she passed, did she have a thing for owls? I was like, what's her spirit animal? She's like, oh my gosh, she didn't have an owl necklace. And then she just sent me this picture, and she said, I'm not shitting you. A friend sent me this to Mike for Joanne's passing. Note what's in it. And there's a little owl up top, which is... these type of coincidences.
What? Dude, fucking tell me this?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
But what are the odds that a fucking owl, not even a bird, dude, an owl hits our windshield?
How fucked up would it be? How fucked up would it be if that was your grandma?
And I just hit it.
And fucking hit it with your $90,000 sprinter.
Here's the good news. It's
$150,000.
Here's the good news.
You saved it. It was good.
Nope. The timelines don't match up.
Oh, thank God.
We hit the owl before she passed. But rest in peace, Grandma Jo.
You did? When did she?
5 a.m. this morning.
Or was that when they announced it? Maybe that was the original. Yeah.
That was time of death, yeah.
New Drake dropped. Speaking of owls, speaking of the six, speaking of Toronto, speaking of OVO, new Drake dropped.
Haven't heard it yet.
A mixtape. I know.
I also haven't heard it.
Drake better than the Beatles, Mr. In Touch with Music. Neither of them listened to a single fucking track on this thing. Well, guess what, boys? I did the work for us.
Thanks, Mike.
What do you have for us? He just typed in Drake on Google.
Because I'm looking for
that's what he has for us.
I did the work.
I love watching him do the work.
I want the name of the album. That's all I was looking
for.
Dark Lane Demo Tapes. Dark Lane Demo Tapes. I just want to make sure I have my info. That's all.
It's cool.
Listen.
Oh, so it's not an album.
But it's a mixtape. Okay. Some old shit, some new shit. A bunch of the shit I'd heard before. No, it's not. There's some good tracks on it.
Cool.
It's not going to change your fucking life, though. Okay. My favorite track on it is one that had already come out called War. I have a question.
How do you know it won't change your life? When you put out hits as good as his as many times as you do, are we numb?
Do you remember?
Are our expectations for great Drake so high? Are they so high that even when he hits them, he gets no credit?
Yeah, what's the guy gotta do?
Yeah, man? For sure. But do you remember when I told you that the mantis shrimp was gonna, or the gift I was getting you was gonna change your life?
Yes.
I throw that around sometimes.
But it did.
I throw that around, obviously, and it did change your life.
No, we didn't see it because we were at the ranch.
Listen to it. It's good. There's good tracks on it. But yes, he definitely has set the bar high. And unfortunately, when you set the bar that high, you got to continue to reinvent and produce.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? It's good. 6ix9ine's also. Putting out a new music video, I think.
It's going to be so interesting to see his comeback. I don't think his snitching will affect him as much as you think it will, Mike. But also, you grew up in a place where that was like a thing. I don't know anything about
snitching. I mean, you do. You understand the idea.
I mean, it's not ideal if you're like in that world, right? Like, you snitch, your snitches get stitches. We all hear it and know it, and like, it's not for me, but...
It's kind of glorifying gang activity.
Well,
right?
Listen, yeah.
Like if he doesn't snitch, do the bad guys continue to run around? Like, in many ways, him snitching could have maybe, like, saved people.
All right. So, yeah. So
I'm just playing devil's avocados. I don't fucking know.
So him and 50 have been back and forth on this. So 50 was a big co-signer of 6ix9ine. He was like, he called him his son. And after all the snitching shit went down, 50 wasn't having it anymore.
Disowned.
That's not my fucking son.
Yeah.
But now, I think 50 slightly switched up his story because he went on a show the other day and was starting to take into consideration, and maybe I should too, I don't know, the fact that the people he snitched on were putting out were doing some horrible shit.
That's what I'm saying.
Yo, I'm going to kill your mom. I fucked your girl. All like that kind of shit, right? Like, just nasty shit.
He's just
getting
stored like crazy.
Here's what the OG street dudes will say. Do your time, come out. Put a hit out on those dudes. That's what the real street dudes will say. You do your time. But the thing is, 6ix9ine wouldn't have got out. Mm-hmm. He could have called work in from prison and had dudes on the streets handle that shit for him. Bro, but that's such old school thinking that I feel like in a lot of ways, snitching is kind of like the new norm in this world. Dude. I don't think it's that out of the ordinary for everybody to just start coughing up fucking names.
I think there's an old saying, something about like the truth will set you free.
Literally,
I mean, literally. It might not set you free, but it will get you just reduced to house arrest, like 6ix9ine.
No, that was coronavirus that got him out.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
I got
it. Dude, that's it's a tricky place to be. Sitting in front of interrogators with a fucking camera on you, and they're saying to you, yo, give us a name, and you can get out of fucking, or you're going to go to prison for the rest of your fucking life.
Against people who were horrible to him.
It's a tricky situation. I've never been that bad, but I've been in front of that camera, and it's not fun, dude, to make that decision.
You've been deposed? You had a deposition?
Yeah, well, I've just been in front of interrogators.
Where's that tape?
We could probably get it.
I would love to find Mike's.
We might be able to pull that. You could still get my my police reports, and they're crazy, bro. One was like 50 pages long on the arrest. It's fun. It's awesome reading. It's awesome reading.
Are the cops good orators?
It's like a little lady, like a white-haired lady with the glasses, and she types.
Yeah.
Ding.
She's been doing it for 400 years.
Like, she types the whole thing out.
Speaking of old ladies with white hair, David Dobrik is the next Ellen.
Does she have white hair?
It's a hot take.
I'd say it's bleach. I agree with you. I agree with you. We talked a little bit about this before the show. So I've always thought David was going to be the next either Jimmy Kimmel or Jimmy Fallon type late night show.
Yeah,
like he's perfect for it. He's built for it. Just likable, amicable. I'm actually gonna go now. Amicable guy. Amicable,
and he gives away everything: cars, money, games, fun.
The difference is Jimmy Kimmel and Jimmy Fallon were comedians first, right? Like sketch SNL type of guys. Yeah. David was internet first, and then he's developed into this personality that quite literally everyone likes, and that's Ellen.
Yep.
Conversational, right? Just like having fun, doing good things. So yeah, I agree with you.
Also, Ellen was a comic first, though.
She was.
But is YouTube, is David's version still him being a comic? It's just kind of a new thing. He's bringing humor to the world.
Yes, like the skits, the concepts are all, they're his. Mm-hmm. And yeah, so yeah, I agree with you. It's gonna be exciting to see where everyone ends up, dude.
Except for GP. I don't know.
He's gonna end up coming out of the bird's ass.
He's the next Bear Grylls.
He's just landing on pavement, white piles of shit. Listen, does the fate of Liza Koshy in any way affect Dobrik or your or anybody else's decision to go to a main stage, to a traditional, playing field?
What'd she do?
I don't know. What happened to her show?
Man, you talking about Lily Singh, bro.
That's what I said.
No, you said Liza Koshy.
Listen, I'm hot. I'm sweaty. Lily Singh. Does the fate of Lily Singh...
Do we know for a fact that her show got canceled?
Danny? No factual? You were the one that fed me this Liza Koshy, Lily Singh.
But she was the first one, no? Like, she was the first one to make the jump.
Okay, so as of April 25th, 2020, NBC has yet to cancel or renew A Little Late with Lily for season 2.
Stuck in limbo. Purgatory.
Is it because of the pandemic? Devil's Avocados? Or is it because the ratings weren't high enough?
Listen, do you like the show, Logan? Whether it's renewed or not?
Don't watch it.
You a big fan?
Don't watch it.
You ever seen any of it?
Nope. I've seen some highlights.
What'd you think of them?
It was so bad.
So
dude.
Bad. So okay, bad. So.
But I like Lily, obviously, but like.
Of course.
But you can't blame Lily because you can't stick a YouTube person on a format that is not built for YouTube people. That is so hard. Even in that podcast clip I played of us on our first podcast, guys, we sucked. We sucked. Technically, I still suck. In 10 years from now, I'm going to be looking at this podcast right here and being like, yo, you started over your words sometimes. Your train of thought didn't make sense. Your logic was not there. It takes so much time to develop like a stand-up routine sitting behind a desk on a late night show. So I don't blame Lily. I blame the person who tried to make a model work that just doesn't.
Well, I assure you what you do, what we all do when we sit down on this desk is way more difficult because those people are simply delivering the brilliant thoughts of the writers. They're orators across the board.
Do you know how hard that delivering is, though?
Of course, hard. That's an
art in itself.
It is. But when we practice that art, we're delivering the things we think of in our mind. Yeah. Full on inception.
Might be easier. Isn't hers live, though? I mean, that's...
No, I don't think so.
No?
Yeah, I mean, they've got great writers, just
that
like
that was
Saturday
one of those
live.
Things, like, I just... It might have been doomed off the bat. Yeah, I don't. I'm in the industry. I don't know many people who thought that was going to be the next late night show.
What channel was it on? Station
the NBC,
one?
Right?
The NBC. Yeah,
I guess. I think
and
it was one of the main...
super late. Right? What time was it on?
Here's what I will say: if they do renew and she does, if she's blessed with the opportunity to improve, she can definitely get there.
Yeah.
But right off the bat, man, you can't expect this girl. Or any influencer who's placed on a traditional model to do well. That's just insanity. I am so confident in myself. And I know if someone were to stick me behind a desk on a late night show at this moment in time, I'd shit my fucking pants. I would literally shit my pants.
Same. Dude, you saw me.
Wait a second.
Oh, the MTV show?
Don't you have a show?
Oh, yeah. The MTV show aired what day is it?
Monday.
The MTV show will air as we film this now in 2 days, but as you're watching it, then it will have aired Hold on, do you have a pen that
just
I
just say what day it airs on?
It airs on Wednesday and Thursday of the week that you're currently watching this, if you watched it in the first week that the show came out.
It will air wherever you're
guys
looking
shut
at
the fuck
TV.
Up.
Do you have a calculator?
Shut the fuck up.
Sorry.
Hey, man.
Joke died a while ago.
Wednesday and Thursday of this week,
MTV
show.
Please stop. Just give me context. You can't just say MTV show. What show, Mike? I'm giving you alley-oops and you're spiking them.
That's fine.
This is volleyball,
listen,
bro.
I'm hot.
Score the basket.
Can I tell you something really quick?
Anything.
Slow down when you talk to a published author like that. All right,
true.
Like,
true,
show some fucking true. Respect.
It's Monday, bro. Your book comes out tomorrow. you are not a published author yet. I will address you differently. Absolutely.
MTV Bustedness. It's a spinoff of the Ridiculousness show with Tana Mongoose, the pretty felon, and of course one of my best friends, Jake Paul.
Oh man, this is hilarious. So what happened?
Why is there an X through them on the?
Your show got picked up because they broke up. Your show got picked up. Is you four?
I think they're testing it or some shit.
Oh, I think it'll do well. I enjoyed being there, and it's crazy how I'm telling you, bro. Life's all about momentum. It's crazy how you're releasing a book about your life that you've been working on for a decade, and the very next day, you are on an MTV show that is a spinoff of one of the most successful MTV shows of all time. I just cannot speak today. It's crazy, man.
At least you're not sweaty as fuck. I didn't know that they were going to air this show. And then literally 5 days ago, they're like, yeah, the air date for it is the day after the book drops. Oh, and the day after that as well. And by the way, I'm randomly going to hit a million on Instagram this week too.
What?
Wow.
Like they're just throwing shit at this point. They're like, yo, all right. Simulation people, give them everything. Hit the everything button. They're like, yep, this is the one, dude. And I told Mac yesterday, I was like, it's one of those situations where if you're not an impulsive viewer or a Logan Paul fan, first of all, what the fuck is wrong with you? But second of all, you're watching in from the outside. I'm going to be one of those, potentially, I could, if all things go well, one of those overnight success stories. Where'd he come from? He's everywhere. He's on MTV. He's got a book out.
Yeah.
This kid just popped up out of no.
Yeah.
8 fucking years writing.
Yeah.
All the time I spent sweating. About equal. Yeah. I've spent at least 8 years sweating here on this show and more than 8 years of sweating even just in that one episode.
Yeah.
Worth. Do you remember the sweat?
I remember walking in. I go, why the fuck is it so cold in here? He goes, actually, it's funny you ask. Your friend Mike asked us to turn the AC on because he started sweating.
I don't want to be so sweaty anymore, dude. I just like.
Why is he always
didn't you walk off that one too, Mike? You needed.
Yeah, I needed a second. That one, I don't even think I worked out on. The working out is 100% the deal, but yeah. That one.
Yo. But this is even what I was just saying. You guys are influencers, and they're sticking you on a traditional stage. You can't just do that and expect you to be perfect,
bro. It was so scary, and they didn't even give me any like. You're gonna be like they tried to, but it was basically the same as taking a fish and putting him in the desert and being like, yeah, go ahead, man. You're going to be fucking good. Bro, I'm like, yo, do you understand that I shoot on a G7X by myself and I edit it on fucking iMovie? Why is there a camera on a crane right there? And who are these 400 people looking at me as I sit here on the fucking stage, dude?
Yeah.
And I was so sweaty. It was like, I felt like Patrick Ewing on the free throw line, dude. Mid-90s.
Nah, but that's cool, man. It's cool. It's cool to see your life... becoming what it is. And you know, and I hope you're happy, Mike.
I am. 4 years ago, I was walking dogs, but you'll see that episode 2 episodes ago from.
Nice. Well, it's the last episode.
You're releasing something this week, too, huh?
Am I?
Yeah.
We're shooting a little
movie.
No, we're not releasing it.
We're shooting it.
We're just shooting it.
No. There's something that's been stuck in post production for a long time. Long, long time coming.
Fucking
out.
Valley Girl. He's talking about Valley Girl.
Wait, what? Oh, that comes out this week?
Yeah.
4 days. What the fuck?
Are you shitting in my fucking
Valley Girl? Big budget movie. Shot it 4 years ago.
They spent a lot of time in the post production.
Finally coming out. Yeah. That should be.
Holy shit.
Yeah, it's gonna be something. So, tell you what.
Elon Musk.
I have three thoughts. I have three thoughts. Things I want to say. And their notes, sometimes I'll clock my thoughts, and these happened over the weekend. This one happened this morning. I looked at the views on my vlog I posted today, and I refreshed it, and it was high. It was very high. And I noticed a little rush of endorphins. I got happy. It's cool. My content, my work, my art is being received well, and people seem to be liking it.
And then I got a little upset at myself because I'm always the guy who's like, yo, views don't matter. I do this shit because I love it. Try to get the numbers out of your mind. Like, that's an afterthought. Mm-hmm. And yet I cannot help but notice the inherent and inevitable rush of emotion up or down based on fucking views. And I hate myself for that. I hate that likes, engagement, views, any sort of statistic and analytic has any capacity to control the way I feel. I try so hard to ignore it, but I'd be dishonest with myself if I didn't say if a video underperforms, mm-hmm. it hurts a little bit. And in 2017, you mentioned it, that Logan Paul would have fucking done anything for views. That was his drug. That was his heroin.
Give me some views, man.
Yep.
I could pay you back once ad rev comes in, man. I'd give you a couple bucks. You're a fucking drug addict. You are a drug addict, and your drug is views, man. You love views. It's crazy. You get a fucking spike of endorphins every time you see that little fucking ticker start to tick.
I try very hard to phase it out, and I do a very good job of it, because if they don't go my way and I get down for a little bit, mm-hmm. my mentality immediately, I gotta kick my brain in the head. I go, gotta kick my brain in its head. and I go, we'll get them next time. Do our best. You know, you made a piece of work. What really helped me, for any creators listening or anyone who is aspiring to be a creator or creative in any way, is viewing your work as your resume. That really helped me. You know who actually gave me this? Rudy fucking Mancuso. Ooh. 3 to 5 years ago, 3 to 4 years ago, maybe, he was like, yo, picture your Vine page as your resume. Mm-hmm. Although it doesn't get the engagement, the likes, the viewership that you like, if you like it, like, why does it matter? If you like it and it's cool and it resonates with you, like, it probably resonates with someone out there. So that really helped me when I stopped relying on the success based on numbers. Mm-hmm. But it still is.
I think it's okay to know that your stuff's getting a lot of views. And even if it's less than you typically want, it's still okay to recognize that the art that you're creating is for the masses. You're trying to get as many people to see it because your mission is to entertain people. Mm-hmm. And if you're not achieving the level of entertainment that you want, I think that's okay to be upset, but you don't let it hinder you from going further.
No. It's minor. Both ways, it's minor. Happy, yeah. Like, I looked at this morning, views are high. I go, that's cool. All right, hell yeah. And I was like, all right, cool. I'm ready to get the day started. But I know, like, if I post at 11 a.m. and, you know, it's not as high as I'd like, it takes me about 10 minutes to, like, get that out of my mind. And I don't like it.
But then you take action steps afterwards, right? Like,
if I do, that's,
you
that's,
find
that's,
out why it didn't do as well. And then
we were just talking about this with Evan. Mm-hmm. I got blessed. My genetic code lends itself well to overcoming challenges. I'm competitive. So if something doesn't go my way, I'm like, all right, I got this. I'll do it again. Let's see what happens. Some people aren't like that. You know, my greatest blessing can also be my greatest curse. Chasing views is good, because guess what? You're going to be a successful YouTuber. You're going to get a lot of views. You go too far, you turn into 2017 Logan Paul, it can shoot you in the fucking foot.
I've been looking for this Rick Rubin quote. Obviously, Mac knows who Rick Rubin is. Legendary producer, craziest beard, you know, big producer for Jay-Z and a number of other artists. And it's so funny that we're having this conversation today, because I saw a quote from him this morning. I think Cole Bennett from Lyrical Lemonade liked it, and that's why I saw it in my feed, where he said basically what equates to the day you start really giving a shit about people's feedback on your craft is the day you lose. Mm. And I know, you know, I don't think he's saying, you know, don't take creative feedback from people, but it's your art should always be your art.
Yeah, no one can tell you how to do anything.
Regardless, and hold on a second. He's speaking out of it as if it's art.
Okay.
I don't know if you're looking at it as a business. Some people look at it as a business, or like a you know, this is cool content. Rick Rubin is an artist. True and true, all the way an artist. And so when he puts something out, when he puts the Rick Rubin stamp on it, it doesn't matter if you're fucking Kanye, it doesn't matter if you're Jay. When you turn and you say to him, yo, I don't really fuck with this one, he says, this is my art. Like, that what you've just said to me in no way affects my thought on it as a past piece or on my future.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? It's
someone likes it, and at the end of the day, if he likes it, that's all he needs.
It's an industry difference.
Absolutely.
My success is quite literally 100% directly correlated to how many views I'm getting. Like how much money I make, how relevant I am, everything comes down to the views. David Dobrik has a podcast called Views.
It is. It is by industry, but it also is by the way you think, because there are people on YouTube who could be much. Let me use myself as an example quickly, and I'll say this, and I don't want to fucking say this.
Just say it, dude.
Mike, just say it.
There's a chance I might be a sellout. There's a chance I. When I first started a small show, a tiny show by the name of The Night Shift. It was right here with my closest friend, Evan. We sat here with buttery toast. I would be drinking a beer, kick back, just talking about whatever the fuck went on. Mm-hmm. And then I started to feel that feeling of what 1 million or 2 or 3 or 5 million views felt like. And no more did I want to sit and talk about toasters. I wanted $50,000 brand deals. And I wanted people to be commenting, hey man, I like your shit. And then I said to myself, if I just keep making these videos, I keep feeding myself. And so I know what it feels like.
Yeah.
Because guess what? The Night Shift was an art. It was beautiful.
Yeah, it was good.
I talked to mops. I wrote I wrote poetry. I did all kinds of beautiful things that all 300,000 people that watched those episodes cared about. Mm-hmm. And then as soon as I felt what 3, 5, 7 million views felt like, I didn't want to talk to mops anymore.
Yep. It'll fuck you up, man.
It's fucked up. It's fucked
up. Here's the takeaway. Identify and monitor.
That's it.
Identify. Yeah. I've identified my behavior. I'm trying to understand how I feel, pinpointing my emotions. Now I'm going to monitor it. And this goes for everyone here too. Like, you see me going off the deep end? Let me know.
Awareness. What would your... Sorry. I just have a question for you. When ready, go ahead.
I'm ready.
Oh, how would your videos be different if views didn't matter, money didn't matter, brand deals didn't matter? What would you be doing differently?
I would adapt so that they did matter and they became, I would do what the best people on the platform are doing better.
So the competitiveness is so programmed into you that if I gave you a new metric for success, which was create what you consider to be the most artistic piece of YouTube content, you would still be drawn back to the competitive side.
Yep.
It's just that built into you.
Do you know I spent a year and a half making music?
Oh, yeah, I do.
Yeah.
Because I've seen the invoices. Yep.
Flew to Sweden for 2 weeks, made an album with one of the biggest producers in the world. Yep. Do you think I did that because I love music?
I would hope so.
Nope. Did it because it's a challenge to overcome.
Right.
Did it because it's another vertical that I have yet to succeed at.
That's the competition versus creation mentality, though. And one is obviously going to uplift; the other one's going
to
destroy.
I happened to get lucky my first time around. You said this morning, where like I really do love creating, but I'm also competitive. So the perfect formula for a YouTuber. I attempted music because I just wanted to do it and be good at it and exceed expectations.
Frank Ocean treats it as a sport.
Oh, he does?
Yeah. Not verbatim, but something around that.
Yeah. I have two more thoughts, kind of like macro, just like thoughts. I wrote this in my notes. I'm going to try to decipher it. Fake being cool until it's cool. So, you know, like fake it till you make it.
Yeah.
Okay. Just to hear me out. Cause you're right. It's not the best, but I am actually slightly insecure around certain people. And this is again, me identifying the way I'm feeling. Cause both of you know, everyone in this room knows I am a very confident, sometimes arrogant, cocky mother. Yeah. Sometimes, I've been humbled a lot and I'd like to consider myself in general a humble person, but I got a lot of confidence. I'm an extrovert. I'm not afraid to talk to people. Mm-hmm. I hold my own in a room. And this weekend at the ranch, my girl brought her girl. I don't know this girl that well. So I noticed myself trying to be cooler in front of her and not being myself and not doing certain things so she wouldn't think I'm weird. Here's the problem. I'm fucking weird, dude. I'm weird.
You got a bird right here.
I have a bird. I'm a bird guy. And apparently she prefaced her friend that I was a bird guy. But you said
I went on record saying that Logan's probably the coolest bird guy there is.
But unfortunately,
that's
still,
That's a pretty low bar.
But it was almost like by the end of the weekend, I had weaned her into who I was, and by the end of the weekend, I felt like I could be the most me. But at first, I did notice myself, like my first impression. I hate leaving a first impression. Where if you were a Logan Paul or Jake Paul skeptic or a Paul skeptic, I hate leaving you thinking exactly what you thought of me before you met me.
Okay. So you want to change people's opinions for the better of you.
Yes. And I mean, just like every human being, my online personality is not the same as my real life personality. Mm. And I'd like to think that my real life personality is pretty cool. Sometimes it's just more entertaining to be Logan Paul vlogs.
Were you playing cool to get her to like you, or were you like withholding weirdness?
That was it.
Okay. That's different. That's like not telling everyone whole story before you like
your girl was like, tell her more about how you guys rolled down the hills in office chairs. And Logan was like, shut the fuck up. I never fucking rolled down no chair in a fucking office chair. What the fuck are you talking about?
I mean, sort of, but I'm vlogging, right?
Tell her about your magic school bus in the front. You're talking about fucking magic school bus in the fucking yard. I got a fucking Mercedes Benz.
Two of them.
Two Mercedes Benz. One's a Sprinter. I don't got no fucking cool bus.
No, it's just like, I don't know. We're about to roll a car down a hill and shoot at it with guns. Like, in my mind, this is dope, but I'm aware that like if you're not involved in this world or don't know anything about me, this is fucking insane. We're about to roll a 2003 Jeep Cherokee off a cliff, and then seven of us are going to line up and shoot it with firearms.
Mm-hmm. I don't think
you can't just be thrown into that, dude. You have to be warmed up, and it's my job to warm people up into this.
That's why there's a long dirt road.
It's a lot to handle. I don't think you're anti fake it till you make it. I think you're fake it like some of the shit that I'm not talking about doesn't exist. Because fake it till you make it was a scripture for me my entire life. Still is. It's actually my favorite advice to give to people. I'd say this all the time. People were like, how did you get into YouTube and how'd you start? And I said, get into it. I was a YouTuber. Dad picked up a camera. I was one of the best YouTubers in the fucking world. I was going to be at the top of the fucking industry. Yeah. They were like, yeah, before that, you were a wedding you tried wedding photography. I didn't try wedding photography. I was one of the best wedding photographers in the fucking world.
So that's the difference, though. That's not fake it till you make it. That's do it and
screw it.
Yeah, until it's done, you know?
Screw it. You tweeted this. Let's talk about chestnut checkers. Mike said, every dude wants to act tough and win the argument with their chick until they got a hard dick and she has a headache. Trust me, boys, it's chestnut checkers. Take those little L's for the greater good. So, I mean, I'm with it.
42 12-year-olds read that and immediately typed the word simp in the comments. Simp. Fucking simp. And yo, I posted one of the
today.
Mike's a bigger man than all of us, dude. that's intelligence. That's intelligence.
Listen.
Self-control.
The preservation of your sanity is more important than you will ever fucking imagine. Every married dude and every dude in a long-term relationship watching the show right now understands the sentiment of what I said in that tweet yesterday. Mm. This is not about losing control, because when it gets to the important shit, I'll say something. I'll read you a quick fucking thing.
I could fill the void until you find it.
Go ahead.
Hey, I'm worried about Milton.
Oh boy.
Today. My God.
He good. I mean, I know our show is not like the most fast paced thing ever, but this is ridiculous. And he's gonna see this tomorrow and be like, "Yeah, you're talking about me on the show." And I said, "You shouldn't have hit that owl."
when she says to me, "Why did you like that girl's picture on Instagram? You need to stop liking that girl's picture." Okay, no problem.
But why did you?
Don't worry about that fucking shit. Why were you farting so much? Don't fart under the covers. Pull the cover off you and fart in the other direction. Then pull the blanket.
I got a question for you.
What?
Why play chess or checkers when you don't even have to start the game?
What does that mean?
Don't get in the match. You don't need to get into.
So you're saying don't
like the picture. Don't fart under the covers.
Oh, okay. Sorry, Mr. Perfect.
I'm at that stage. I've been farting a little bit, and I'm just like, I'm testing the waters. I'm seeing how her nose, how sensitive it is, like how if it can smell certain farts or not. Like if she'll, and I've let a couple squeak out, but she hasn't caught any of them yet.
Hey man, you're sick.
Like Corona?
Like Ale, yeah.
You're testing her nose to see if she could register certain farts. What's wrong with you?
That's listen, what
let her rip, bro. She likes it, she likes it. If not, she's out.
No. You gotta be delicate, bro. This is what I've said this verbiage before. I'm gonna let you finish.
Yeah, it's fine.
I'm gonna let you finish.
Thanks, Kanye.
Bro, all dudes are doing when they're getting women is tricking them. They're manipulating them to like you. And as the relationship develops, you can fall into you. Bro, with Josie, my opinion, this is the baddest bitch on the planet. Mm-hmm. So at first, bro, I was not being weird Logan Paul with pigs and a bird and seven dogs and 9,000 roommates who are all dudes who talk about dicks all day. I was like, yo, what's up? Like, what's up, Logan? Nice to meet you. Like, how you doing? Play cool, talk a little like this. Don't quite finish my sentences.
Yeah, it's pretty
crazy. And then now, bro, like, yeah, I'm putting my mouth over her nose and sucking in so her throat goes... It's like a weird thing that I did. Saying it out loud is
why, every time.
No, yeah, why don't you go?
Calling people simps, being the big man, being the tough guy is hot right now. It's big. It's popular. What are we looking at? Why are we looking crazy?
I'm just wondering what just happened, but I'm following
me
now.
And him,
I got
me,
it.
See,
I got
this
it.
Is the thing people at home don't watch. We work on brainwave. I know when he's telling me to go.
Oh, yeah?
I'm back into it.
Oh, yeah? This is all not right. A game of snaps, all right?
This is chess, not checkers.
No, it's not.
Okay, cut the shit, Macklin. And by the way, everyone watching this wants to hear about your aunt that got fucking abducted or your grandma, but we're not doing it right now. I saw it in the comments. I saw it. They want to know about your abducted great-grandmother.
They were happy.
They were pissed off that we cut you
off.
Oh,
yeah, yeah, they were pissed.
Ready for this?
Yeah.
All the dudes that were saying simp, 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 I asked them the following question. Do you have a girlfriend? No, they don't. Okay, because they're 12. Okay. When your fucking girlfriend tells you to take out the trash and you say, bitch, I'm playing Warzone, you aren't going to get your dick sucked that night. Mm. I'm sorry. Okay, if you have any kind of stand-up chick, okay? Mm. I'm gonna take an L in that game of Warzone. I'm gonna bring the trash out. Then I'm gonna go back and play Warzone for another 12 hours, and then I'm gonna get a sloppy BJ to end my fucking night. This nice. Is fucking chess, bitch. This ain't fucking checkers. Except when it affects my business. Ooh. I tweeted today, the Fifth Vital drops tonight at 12 a.m. PST. And she said, OMG, does that mean I can post our picture at 12 a.m.? I want to post it. I'm so excited. Now, a simp would have said, of course, baby, post it whenever you want. You have 10 million followers. I can't wait to get all that fucking clout. I said, nah, your ass is going to wait and you're going to optimize timing for reaching engagement. Keep your damn shorts on.
Wow, way to go.
On Twitter, public. Wow. Call me a fucking simp.
I mean,
I'll bring the trash out, but when it affects my fucking views, hell
that,
no.
That might be the chess move where you put your queen too far forward and totally expose her to the world, though, man. You just kind of just lay her out there.
Bro, being a simp is cool, dude. For me, anyways. Like, I like the idea of a woman making me weak. I've been hard for too long.
There's a difference between like being
a simp, dog. Like,
falling at the heel of and beck and call of your woman.
Bitch, buckle my legs.
Nice. Nah, man. Or
cut my Achilles and collapse me. I want to be on the ground for my girl.
Guys.
All right.
That is not, you cannot simp. I'm going to say something factual for the entire world and all the 12-year-olds to hear, right? This is so fucking important. You cannot simp for your girlfriend. That's not how the word works. If it is your girlfriend, you cannot simp over her.
Oh.
A simp is a man who puts himself in a subservient or submissive position or under women in hopes of winning them over without the female bringing anything to the table. The day my girlfriend said, Danny Earmuffs, this pussy is yours only now. I started bringing her breakfast in bed every fucking day.
Fucking simp. Fucking simp. I can't believe that.
Every day. Her coffee or strawberries. Simp for your fucking girls.
No. See, now I gotta cut you off. I gotta cut you off.
Because
you're making this hard for the rest of us, Mike. You're making this hard for all of us,
no
Mike.
No breakfast in bed?
What?
No breakfast in bed for your girl? You won't bring her breakfast in bed?
Mike, let me ask you a question. Are you making her breakfast in bed, or is Chef Katie making her breakfast in bed, and you're walking it from downstairs to upstairs? Because
I will have you know that that coffee is brewed by hand. I put the K cup into the machine and I pushed that button. Now, yes, has Maria, the maid, filled that machine with water and gotten my coffee
Why
cup
is
for
Maria
me?
Making coffee?
She's a part of the process.
She is. She's so kind.
She's a part of the process.
But every morning she's trying to do something nice. But yeah,
you can't listen.
You're making it hard for us. Like, don't be too nice.
And I'm not even the best, bro. All I'm saying is this. She told me at the beginning of this relationship, simps are getting all the blowjobs in 2020. Mm. I'm telling you, if you got a girl, you got to treat her well. You got to take care of her. And yeah, when she acts up and says she's going to post her Instagram post early, you fucking snap that whip. Nice. But if it's take out the garbage, take the boys, take the garbage out. Get your head. You had one more thought.
I did. I don't even know if I want to say it because it's such a small thought. Actually, I will say it because it'll stem into this pool thing that I want to address because people like hearing you talk and also I'm very curious.
Okay.
And I was there.
Yeah.
All right. I have this thought. I'm just going to read it. Happiness massively stems from the sense of accomplishment and purpose. We know this. We've talked about it. But I was stacking these rocks on more rocks at the ranch, just doing my thing. And each rock I stacked and got it to balance, I got happy. It gave me a little rush. I was like, this is cool. And then, you know, I was five rocks high. And I was like, what the fuck? Why the fuck am I doing this? So I started like digging deep. And I'm like, this is odd how this little thing is giving me these like little bursts of accomplishment. And then I realized that most of the things in life that made me happy stem from accomplishing something. Mm-hmm. So even it's like we've seen the articles or the viral videos on Facebook, like wake up in the morning, the first thing you do, make your bed.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. We've seen that. And it's these little things that you can accomplish, whether it's mowing the lawn, getting something done, completing your homework even. When I was a kid, those got me to the next phase. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people in life are unhappy because they don't know what they're doing. They're lost. They have no purpose. So if you can fill that void with doing something that's going to make you feel accomplished, even in the slightest degree, even like spending the whole weekend building a pool on a lake that's going to be dug out and will no longer be a pool in a month or two.
I got reasons why I did that.
I'm so excited to hear context. At the ranch, we have a spot for a lake. It filled with a mudslide. We're going to make it a lake again. But Max spent quite literally the entire weekend building a probably like what? Like a 4-foot by 10-foot little in-ground
it's
pool?
It's like 6 feet wide, maybe 15 feet long. It drains itself. It's got intake. It's got output. It's got all these things.
This is a car you're talking about.
No. But the reason I did it was, first of all, I talk about it on my channel. You can check that out. But
what's the channel called?
It's just Macklin. You'll find me
at Instagram.
Yeah, that too. But so the reason why I did it was because I actually want to build a pool later in life. So I thought this would be good practice to like figure out how that works and what it means to like have a river divert into a puddle.
Oh, that actually makes sense.
Water. Also, because I thought it'd be great after a long hot day, we all just go, you know, jump in a nice clean space that's been designated to be a pool.
You were the only one that went in. And the dogs.
Kelly went in.
You made a pool for dogs.
GP will go in. But no, the thing is, man, I gave myself something to do, and giving myself something to do
boom!
Gave me something to accomplish. I had a purpose, I had drive and energy to
do it. It's crazy, bro.
It's that simple.
It's that simple.
So is it being task driven? Is that what you're saying?
Give yourself
something to accomplish.
And I saw you pacing the cabin at night. We're all like majorly fucked up. And I'm like, what do you think about it, dude? You're just like, I can't stop thinking about my pool.
I couldn't stop thinking about the pool. And then I started thinking about space helmets. And then it was just like, there was a lot going on that week.
Yeah, I caught him drawing space helmets. I go, what are you doing? He's like, drawing space helmets. And they're actually sick.
You want to know why he was doing that?
I'd love to.
Because you're going to be wearing one of those when you go to Mars to fight that gorilla.
Boom, exactly. Boom. I'm doing it for
That's
you.
It.
It's not because I need you to open the email and drag the picture I just sent over to you.
Boy.
Sorry to do it to you, brother.
What a day.
Right. Here we go. Drag and drop.
Drag and drop.
Oh, yeah, beautiful.
No, hold on a sec. They said push the everything button for Mike this week. They said push the everything button. They said push the everything. They said Mike's going to be Mike on Twitter. Not just Instagram, not just every... He's Mike. We know this, man. We can verify for certain that is him. The everything button.
What happened?
Give it all to the motherfucker, dude. 1 week, overnight success. Fuck yeah.
I told you I'd make that happen.
Shout out Logan Paul. Shout out Johnny from Shots.
Wow. There were a lot of people. Shout out Greg Barrett.
Shout out Greg Barrett.
Shout out everyone on the Twitter team. Like, there were a lot of people working to make that happen.
Damn.
All right, well, that's the show. Thanks for listening. Subscribe. Bye.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit EnergyCitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.